Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, we're recording! Woo-hoo! Oh my God, we're back. We're back, or I'm back.
Yeah, I have friend back.
Finally. Hello, everyone. What's up?
Hi. Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth. The Bachelorette. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I'm back. And I'm so excited. Oh, my God.
You guys, I haven't seen Natasha in so long.
This season is such a stark difference from last season. Last season, yeah. We, like, practically lived together. We watched the season together, physically in person. And it was just glorious. Mm-hmm. And now for Bachelorette, we're, like, doing these Skype interviews. I'm away for a week. Like, it's just so
long distance. It's just terrible.
Long distance. Oh, my goodness. But I'm back. Shout out to CN for stepping in last week.
Yes,
much appreciated. It was very interesting, like, listening to the episode. Like, I was literally, me and my sister, like, driving. I was in Italy, FYI, to everyone. Me and my sister, like, driving down the Amalfi Coast and playing the podcast and hearing you and Sia. It was so weird.
That is so crazy.
Like, I would hear the theme song come up, and I'm like, what is this? It was bizarre. And then, like, I've never listened to the episode. I listened to the episode all the time. Like, every week I listen to every episode, like, 2-3 times. I'm, like, a freak of nature. But I've never listened with another person. So, like, sitting there listening with my sister was also very interesting.
And you weren't talking.
It was someone else. I wasn't talking. But it was funny because sometimes she would say things that, like, I agreed with. Or you guys, I'd be like, oh, I hope they say this. And then you guys did. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
Still going smooth. Still smooth. But, yeah, it feels good to be back. I feel like I've been away forever and a day. And it's only been a week and some change.
No, it's been a month. It feels like you went abroad.
You guys, every time I go on a trip, Justine, one, will text message me like a prayer. Like, bitch, you better make it back. Travel safely. God is on your side. Like, all of this foolishness. Like, I'm literally about to die at some point. And I'm like, I'm just going on a trip. Relax. And then before I get back, I'm getting text messages. Bitch, where are you? When is your flight coming again? What's going on? Are you coming back? Have you moved to Paris? Da, da, da. I'm like, oh my God, Justine.
Because I swear, Natasha be telling me that she's going on this trip. So she's like, yeah, I'll be gone from the, you know, the 12th to the 20th. And I'm like, okay. And I, in my head, that's the 12th to like the 15th. So on the 16th, I'm like, where is she?
And I'm like, bitch, I told you I'll be back on the 20th. Check your text message. Leave me alone. I'm on vacation. Never fails. Never fails.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
That's why I love you.
Oh, man. Craziness.
Craziness. I did not find my husband in Italy, though, guys.
Oh, man.
No husband. A lot of fine-ass men. I'll give you that. But didn't find my future bae. I tried. I really did. My sister was... We were on the same page. Like, look, we gotta find husbands.
Yeah.
Gotta make this work. Italy, they apparently love black women. Let's go. What's going on? Which they do. I mean, that within mm-hmm. itself is an experience. Traveling in a country where black women are celebrated slash fetishized.
It was
an interesting feeling. It was very flattering, getting all the attention that we did all the time. By the end, I was like, okay, enough. I just want to walk to the store. Like, I don't need to be getting hollered at, like, every 5 seconds. But it was very, it was nice to feel appreciated and loved.
Even
if it was,
like, desired.
Desired. Yeah. I'll put it that way. It was nice to feel desired and, like, mm-hmm. you know, Italian men are very, very forward.
Mm-hmm.
Very vocal, have a lot of confidence. They have no problem saying you look beautiful and coming up to you and saying exactly how they feel, which here, we clearly don't get that. No one speaks their mind. No one even speaks anymore. Everyone's swiping on Tinder and shit. So it was really refreshing to, like, be meeting men in the wild, like, out and about. And, like, organically, which I feel like I haven't done that, like, in forever. All the dates I've been on the last few months have been people I met online, so that was nice. It was a nice change of pace. And now I'm 10 pounds heavier than I was before I left, because I ate carbs for every meal. And now I'm back into bachelor world.
Yay!
I do want to say, first, a reminder to everyone to please rate, review, subscribe. We say this every week. We're going to keep saying this.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't written a review yet or hit that little 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to us on, please do that. It is very encouraging. And it helps other people see us. When people, you know, search Bachelor Podcast, we come up more, the more ratings and things we have. So help us grow this community. And also, we are live on Twitter. We live tweet. We tweet other mess throughout the week. All the time. Please hit us up on Twitter if you haven't followed us already. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 Rose.
Thank God we got our Twitter back. That was crazy.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Like, literally the minute I left the country, our Twitter, like, shut down. And, like, we couldn't figure out how to get it back. It was very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you couldn't do the promotion that, you know, wanted for the episode with Sienna and all that. But, I mean, y'all still listen to it,
you guys found us anyways.
Still
Thanks.
Found it. I know. you can also email us. What's our email?
Yeah, you can email us at the number 2 blackgirls, the number 1 rose@gmail.com. And we love reading your emails, especially the, like, real long ones.
Yeah.
I find those to be really cute.
I do.
Yeah.
I love hearing your perspectives and sharing mm-hmm. your own personal dating relationship stuff as it relates to The Bachelor.
Yep.
Is that it? Also, Facebook. We're on Facebook. Search us on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing.
I keep forgetting about that website. Facebook. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into the recap, we do have some
church announcements.
Whip out your program, y'all.
Yay.
Justine, what do we have?
So, we had a couple of emails this week. Shout out to T and Kyra for your emails. They were really cute. And we also read the article that you sent over, and we'll be talking about that later. And yeah, thanks for the love.
Thanks. Outside of church announcements, we do have some Bachelor Nation news to attend to. First and foremost, first and foremost, big news, controversy, scandal, just craziness. That is all over the news right now as it relates to The Bachelor is this dude Lincoln.
Oh my gosh.
God damn. I mean, this news is horrible. It is horrific. It's gross. It's all of the just adjectives. So Lincoln was found guilty of indecent assault and battery for groping and assaulting a woman 2 years ago on a harbor cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted on May 21st of this year which was actually after they shot the series.
Wow.
So he was charged back in 2016, and he was just convicted, like found guilty in this past May. So after he went and filmed the whole damn series, knowing that he had a whole entire charge over his head. And then filmed the whole damn series and then was convicted just this past May. So this obviously is huge news because, like, what the hell? How did he get away
through the
with
casting
this?
Process?
Yeah, how did he get through the casting process? How did this not come up in all the background checks? Like, I don't even get it. He's been sentenced to 1 year in a house of correction. Like, my nigga got a year in jail sentence.
Wow.
But the term is suspended for a 2-year probationary period. Over those 2 years, he has to go to AA and stay away from the victim. And if he complies, there's a chance that his, like, year in jail could get waived.
I mean, Lincoln can't be in jail.
I mean, my nigga had a full-on sex crime, like, that he was convicted for. He might go to jail.
He's such a wuss.
Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This story, when I read it, I was like, this is out of control.
Yeah.
What is going on in the casting department of The Bachelor?
I don't know.
How are they... So, Garrett and the Lees and the Bigots are one thing. How is somebody with a full-on pending charge making it through the casting process?
And not just a pending charge of, like, traffic tickets. This is a pending charge of sexual assault.
Sexual assault. Like, something very, very serious.
Yeah.
And this is a show about, like, love and a woman trying to find someone to protect her and feel safe. And we have this man who is extremely problematic in the way that he deals with women, clearly. Like, hello? Oh, my God. So, there's this other article by Vulture where they outlined, like, all of the background checks that the contestants go through.
Oh.
They go through a credit check, military records check, criminal arrest and conviction check, allegedly, supposedly, civil litigation check, family court litigation check, interviews with employers, neighbors, friends, medical tests, psych evaluations, rounds and rounds of interviews and personality checks. Mm-hmm. Like, they really, really run these people through the gamut. And yet, Lincoln was cast.
Yeah.
I am just so, I don't even know what is going on with the casting.
My question is, I don't know how Lincoln was cast. I don't know if he was found or if he went out for this.
Right.
But I'm questioning if he was found, if they did less work. Because they just really wanted him.
I could see that, because as we've seen with our past interviews with some of the black people, like Diggy and...
Yeah, even Lauren.
Lauren, yeah, how they kind of just move quickly through the process. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, look, we're at the ending stages, we still need a couple black people, like, let's just push them through. So I could see that, where they don't get as, you know, more vetting, or whatever the word is, like, of a process.
Yeah.
Because they're just so desperate for people, I guess.
Yeah, or they deem people of color, or he has, like, a really funny accent. He has...
Mm-hmm. He had a couple.
You know, he has, like, the body, I guess. Not a body that I am looking at, but...
Right, they keep talking about Lincoln's body, and he's so... I don't know. I don't look at muscles, really, so I guess I'm not noticing, but... Yeah. He has, like, a lot of little random bonus things going for him.
Yeah.
He's black, he has a cool accent, he's, like, super ripped, apparently, and... Like, I don't know. He loves being on camera, I guess.
Yes. Yep.
But Jesus Christ. Like, I... Like... It's just so annoying because, like, first we have Garrett, who anytime he comes on screen, I'm just, like, uncomfortable. Now we have Lincoln. Anytime he comes on screen, I'm like, what the fuck? So now we have two, like, whole entire people on the show who have so much scandal and controversy off the show that it makes watching them very weird.
Yeah, and this is part of the article that a couple of people sent us that E had, where they were talking about how now it's not fun anymore.
Watching The Bachelorette.
Watching The Bachelor, because they're just not doing the homework that we as viewers are doing.
Thank you. And that's another thing that keeps pissing me off is, like, after the whole Lincoln scandal and the Garrett scandal, like, ABC or the producers, whatever, will, like, release a statement. And they, like, release some BS statement after Lincoln, like, we didn't know. He didn't tell us that he had this charge. And
of course he didn't tell you.
They said that they hire some, like, third-party contractor who does the background checks. And we're investigating how this went unseen. And it's like, we got random-ass people on the internet who are literally just Googling Lincoln, and he comes up in his whole entire rap sheet. People did a quick Instagram search of Garrett and found all this mess. Like, how are y'all not seeing this? I don't get it. Your excuses don't make sense.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't make sense. And then that just makes me think even more, like, just icky and dubious underneath all this is, like, did they know about all of this already and still go ahead with the show because it's for the press and for the...
Right.
Like... Because for them to keep coming forward and saying that they didn't know and we hired some other people and we, like...
How does placing the blame other places.
Yeah, always shifting the blame. And I'm like, but randoms on the internet are finding this out. So how did you not know? Like, I don't get it. It's not adding up.
Nope.
It's not adding up. And yeah, it's making watching the show, it's adding, like, a different layer to the show that is just... I just want to watch this show and feel very... I want it to be, like, a guilty pleasure.
Exactly.
I don't want to feel guilty as I'm watching her fall in love with, like,
this guy.
Yeah, a sex offender, and this other one's a bigot. Like, I don't want to watch this. Yeah, I want to watch genuine love story and let's get back to, like, when it was light and airy.
Yeah.
It's, like, weighed down and heavy with all kind of craziness.
Right.
Oh, my God. So yeah, we gotta keep watching this love story with Lincoln unfold.
Gotta keep going.
We know that he is a full-on convicted sex offender, but okay.
Oh my God.
Keep watching. Anyways, in other Bachelor Nation news, Ashley I and Jared got engaged.
And you know, good for them. She's pulling an Ariana Grande.
What's that?
Ariana Grande got engaged after 3 weeks of being with that young man.
She just got engaged to that dude from Saturday Night Live?
From SNL and, yeah.
No.
She's engaged to him. Yeah.
I totally missed that.
Yeah.
She was literally with Mac Miller 5 milliseconds ago.
Literally, like, 2 songs ago, she was with Mac Miller. And now...
She's full on engaged. I totally missed that.
Yep.
Wow. So, yeah, Ashley I, she's... Literally, we just got announced that she and Jared were a thing, and now we're getting the announcement that they are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
I guess theirs was a long time coming, because they, although they're officially a couple, as of, like, 5 minutes ago, they have had, like, a relationship.
Yeah.
Friendship, like, whatever you want to call it, for, like, many years, I guess, so.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. I love Love. She's not my favorite person, but I can still... congratulate somebody for...
Yeah, and, like, rooting for her. She deserves love, just like everybody else.
Yeah, she sure does. Absolutely. In other news, Bachelor in Paradise is coming back, y'all.
Yeah.
It is back August 7th. Mark your calendars. I already saw a spoiler, and I'm so fucking mad.
No!
Yes, a spoiler of who from this season is on it. It was quick. I didn't see everybody, but I saw enough, and I'm just like, oh my God, you can't get away from spoilers. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
But very excited for Bachelor in Paradise to be back. August 7th. I'm assuming Bachelorette will be done by then.
Assuming so. But I've never watched Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, that's
the first time.
I don't think it overlaps with the actual show, so I think it'll be done, which is good for us because
we have at least a week.
We need time off, because when we did Bachelor Winter Games, like, I know y'all loved that, and that those episodes are fun, but me and Justine were literally on our deathbeds, like, watching 85 hours of The Bachelor and editing all these episodes.
Oh my God. And drinking gallons of wine.
gallons of wine. Pumping out all these episodes, because they had those two damn shows, like, overlapping. I can't do that shit again, so I'm really hoping that The Bachelorette will be done by then, which I think it will be.
Yeah.
So... very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. All right. For news.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Should we jump into the recap?
Yeah, let's go, girl.
Jump right on in. I'm so excited. I, like, just watched this, guys. It's Thursday, by the way, so I'm so behind. But I'm still fresh. Just watched it. So anyways, so we pick back up at the... So last episode was like a to be continued. Mm-hmm. Like a dot, dot, dot. So we pick back up at the cocktail party, fresh after Clay, our darling Clay, have to say goodbye. Because he is like, bitch, you are not it, and I got bills to pay.
Listen, and I have, like, a whole family to feed.
A whole entire family to feed, and you ain't it, so I gotta go later. Yep. Chuck the deuces. So, Clay had to go, and David is still in the hospital from when he fell out the bed, allegedly. I think he got mauled by lions, because that's what he looked like. But they're playing this he fell out the bed story, so, you know, we're just gonna go with it. So, anyways, it's the cocktail party. Blake and Becca have a cute little moment. They're talking about kids, how many kids they each want. He wants 3 to 5. She wants 3. It's all cute. Jordan and Becca have a moment. She gives him a pair of gold booty shorts. Did they have an inside joke that I missed? Like, where did she just... No. These look fun, and you would like these...
Yeah, the producers Let's are really getting continue, into the props.
Yeah, making season. You a gimmick. Here's, you know, another prop for you.
Yep.
That was stupid. So, in the middle of Jordan and Becca having their moment, Jordan's arch nemesis, David, comes back. And David looks a fucking mess.
Yeah, he looks really bad.
Whoa!
Yeah.
He looked like he got beat the hell up. This whole fell out the bed thing, he looked like he got whooped. Like,
like he got jumped, right?
Like he got jumped, yeah. Like his, not only was his nose broken, but his whole face was like, he looked different. Like his face,
yeah.
Like he looked like he did crack, I think Jordan, somebody said he looked like he cracked the bone in his face or.
Like the cheekbone?
The cheekbone. Like it looked bad. He looked real bad. I felt bad for the guy. And so Becca pulls him aside. David gets a little pity rose, of course.
Oh my god, yeah.
She's like, I don't want you to stand through the whole rose ceremony. He also had like doctor's orders to like go get sleep.
He had to go sleep. He's probably like high on
morphine, kinds of meds. All kind of meds.
Oh my god.
So he gets a little pity rose and is on his merry way. So then the rose ceremony starts, and off rip, Colton, Chris R., and David have roses. So, and one thing that I just like laughed about to myself, if you looked on the guys' faces, I was guessing that this rose ceremony, it was a smooth 4 o'clock in the morning, because they all looked
exhausted.
They all looked exhausted. And she even said something like, I know it's been a long night, but you just know, like, long night equals it was a smooth 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, that they were doing this roast ceremony, because they all looked awful. Becca looked gorgeous. Yeah. She's rocking a lot of red this season.
Yeah, I like it.
It's definitely her color. So, Becca looks great. They're starting the roast ceremony. My dude, Nick, white Josiah, who is going to be selling these tracksuits
along Instagram. With these nigga lawyer suits. They're going to have a line together.
They're going to have a co-line.
Listen, they're going to have a line. Okay?
They're both lawyers, too, aren't they?
They're both, JD. Okay? I could not believe this. I had to... Did I pause my TV live? I was like, wait a minute. Does he have on a... A velour jumpsuit.
It made me think of, what was it, Sean John? Who was making them big ass velvet tracksuits back in
like FUBU. FUBU, and all them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He had on a full on tracksuit.
Yeah, it was like powder blue too.
Which, to be honest, I have been waiting for this person. The person who, like, comes to the rose ceremony is, like, fuck this. With the gimmick? Yes. Yeah. Not even with the gimmick. Who just shows up, like, what up? This is what I'm wearing. I only brought X amount of suits. I miscalculated. I didn't count this rose ceremony. I don't have another suit. So can I just rock this tracksuit? I've been waiting for this person. And Nick came through.
Mm-hmm.
Was just standing there in the lineup looking hella comfortable. So... Stuck in about roses. First rose goes to Jason, Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Then Wells. And then, you know, roses. last rose goes to Jean Blanc. So, which we will get to him later. That's all I gotta say. So we have to say goodbye to Mike, I think his name was.
Mike.
The other dude with the long hair.
Long hair, yes. Yeah.
And Ryan, the banjo guy.
Yep. Who... We did not hear a word.
We literally haven't heard a peep from this guy.
Not even a strum. Not even a strum of the banjo. Nothing. Nothing.
Not a strum. I don't think he was ever even in an interview. Like, I don't think we literally ever heard this man's voice.
I didn't see his teeth.
We haven't seen a smile. Haven't heard a yawn. Haven't even seen him sitting with other people talking shit. Like, we literally have not seen the banjo guy at all. And then he's going home. We're like, all right, later. Like,
bye.
Oh my god, that was very bizarre. One of those bizarre, like, editor, like, what were they doing in the editing floor? Like, what was going on with that? But whatever, he's gone. Never liked the guy from the beginning. Never trusted the guy.
Yeah, no.
From the minute he was on After Final Rose, so good riddance. So after the rose ceremony, Becca announces that they are changing location and they are going to Park City, Utah.
Yay!
Okay, so the only reason I know Park City is because that's where they host the Sundance Film Festival.
Yes.
And I'm like a huge film head, so it's like one of my dreams to go to that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, these are not one of those locales that I fuck with. Like, I don't do snow.
Yeah, that's the thing, you guys. When CN was talking about it last week and she was like, oh, it's so pretty with the snow. I was like, in my head, I was like, girl, that's because you grew up in LA, man.
Right, so that is like a novelty to her.
Yeah, all I gotta do is wait.
All we gotta do is wait. As soon as October hits, from October to April, like, hello.
That's it.
That's it. So that shit is not a novelty to me. I don't do snow vacations. I don't do cold weather, period. So I wouldn't have been very excited by this Park City location unless they were going to the Sundance Film Festival, which they weren't. So anyways, they're in Park City, Utah. It's still very nice. They're in a new place, you know. Becca's happy that they're in the fresh air. They're out of that dank, musty ass house and in a new little cabin. And she has her first one-on-one with Garrett Kushner.
Now.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Remember, this week has been a lot. This week in the news has been a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off that day. I think that was the day that rapper died. I don't want to butcher his name, but Existential?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. And then the other Philly rapper passed away as well in a random shooting. Yeah, there's another a very young guy, 21-year-old guy.
Oh, my God.
And then we have to watch this on top of that. Like, oh, my God.
Top it all off with a Becca and Garrett date in Park City, Utah. I'm like, what? This is the last thing I want to watch after this damn week we just had.
And it's only Monday.
It is only Monday. Good lord.
Oof.
So she's gone on her one-on-one with Garrett. They are just, you know, walking around Park City, I guess. They go into a store. They're trying on little fur hats and slippers and shit. She says she feels good around Garrett. She feels like she can be her goofy self around him. And then she repeats for the umpteenth time, Garrett reminds me of home. Which every time she says this, it just really makes me wonder what Becca's home life is like. Because I had another vision in my head. And
Did you?
I mean, I know she comes from like all quote unquote all American Midwest white family, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know Garrett. I just know from what he's liked on Instagram. And it's a lot of conservative ass shit. So when you say like Garrett reminds me of home, and I get it, you know what, she's not having these conversations with Garrett. She don't even know where Garrett stands politically, you know what, so
right.
From what she's just seeing the surface level, he's just all American, you know, white bread America Midwest, and that image reminds her of home, I guess.
It's just like a loaf of Wonder Bread.
Right. We're privy to more stuff, so that's why I don't like every time she says that.
Yeah. But also, even in his pre-interview, bio thing, where he said that, Dumb and Dumber was his favorite movie, and all of this, those are questions that I'm sure they're asking each other, because those are easy questions. So the fact that those guys are the guys that she's like, oh, yum. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. all right. Anyway, so back at the house quickly. Yes. They are, I'm not even going into this because it's just so stupid. They're having a conversation about the world being round versus flat. And Lincoln believing it's flat. And I just can't.
You guys. These flat earthers. Why is this a thing? First of all, Kyrie Irving, I just need you to stand up and say something.
He's another flat earther?
Oh, yeah, he started this.
Why is this a thing?
What? Him, B.O.B.
B.O.B., I remember reading that, I remember that being a thing, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But, what?
I don't know.
Y'all are really sitting up here having full-on debate. He was sitting there debating the other guys in the house. You look dumb. Why is this a conversation? I can't.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, I can't even go into that. Jean Blanc, meanwhile, is chatting it up with John, the Venmo guy, who is a little cutie.
Mm-hmm. No, he's very cute.
Very cute. And he got money, so I love him even more.
Listen. This is what I tell everybody who I talk to The Bachelor with, who doesn't know I have a podcast. I'm like, look, this show would be over the first night.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That 6 foot something tall man told me he invented Venmo?
Oh, thank you.
Everybody else can go.
Sign, seal, deliver. Bye, y'all.
Yep.
Found my husband. But in all fairness, money aside, he is a very stand-up, successful guy, and we finally got to see him, talk and, got a good look at his face, and he is very good looking.
Yeah, he is very cute.
He is such a cutie. So he's chatting with Jean. Jean is feeling just very confident about this week for no damn reason. I don't know what reassurance he got from Becca that he's feeling this good, but whatever. Back on Garrett and Becca's date, Becca is just smitten by Garrett. She mentions, he's tall, he has really good eye contact, he has a great smile. I can't even lie, the guy's good looking. I didn't see it really until this date.
Creeps me out.
I think he has a very nice smile.
Ooh, I don't like it.
It's too big. It's a big smile.
Yeah, it's too big.
it's a big smile. I think it's a nice smile. But she's falling for him and his, good looks and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. My girl's not asking the questions, though. So she's falling for this little prepackaged image that she, feels comfortable and feels like home and all that nonsense. So, Becca surprises him that they're going bobsledding, which is pretty cool. They meet some, badass, female Olympic medalists who, show them how to bobsled, I guess. And so they bobsled, and they're whipping around, it's really cool. And afterwards, they sit and, have some champagne, and Becca's saying how her feelings for Garrett are coming on very quickly. I was bored to tears watching this date.
Yeah, this was pretty, pretty bad. Especially even the bobsledding, I can't even lie. I thought they said dog sledding, and so I got really, really excited. And then they had these two lovely Olympians, and they were just in this little, Keystone Light can sliding down the ice. This is just so whack. I can't. That's why. That was my... You know what was really my escape to Wakanda moment? Was when Garrett was talking about it and that his literally ear-to-ear smile came up. And I was like, this man has a chubby off of this bobsledding date.
Ew!
I can't even handle this. Because I would rather die.
Oh, no. This was your get me to Wakanda moment.
This is it. Get me there. Get me there now.
Get me there. Yeah, this date, up until this moment, the bobsledding, all that, it just reminded me exactly why I'm so tired of this perpetual whiteness on this show. Like, yeah. we've seen yep. this love story, this exact date, this exact two people. Like, we've seen this exact scenario a bajillion times. Like, yep. I was just so bored just watching this because we've watched this before. Mm-hmm. Like, aren't the producers tired of seeing this shit? Like, oh my God. Anyways, but yeah, I'm with you. Get me to Wakanda. So, time for the night portion of their dates. Becca starts off RIP saying, I feel so secure with Garrett. I trust him completely. I can see him at the end of this.
Like, how?
And then she says to Garrett, you remind me of my dad. Mm-hmm. And she said, my dad was really into, like, the outdoors and nature and all of that stuff. This is, like, the ultimate compliment because we all know Becca's father passed away. She was a daddy's girl, very, very close to her dad. So for her to already be telling somebody in the house, like, you remind me of my father, that moment I knew that Garrett has to be in the top two.
Gotta be.
Has to. Like, mm-hmm. on top of the fact that he got the first impression rose, and we already know, like, the statistics of, you know, how that pans out. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be there, right there at the end. Mm-hmm. So then we learn a little bit more about Garrett. He was in love right after college. He had a whole full-on relationship with this woman. They were having adventures all over the world, yada yada, traveling and stuff. They got married. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like a little bomb dropping, because I didn't know that. And then he said, one thing led to another, and we got divorced. I was like, nigga, what? That's not how you describe divorce. One thing led to another. That's how you describe, like, a hookup. What?
Oh, my God.
Yes! That's how he said it, Justine. One thing led to another, and we got divorced.
I remember thinking, like, she really has to drag this out of this man. Like, he really doesn't want to talk about this at all. He was really not
trying to go into this. And so she asked a bunch of follow-up questions because she wanted to, like, confirm the timeline. And it sounds like they were together for a year and a half, then they were engaged for a year, and then they got married, and then got divorced after two months. Like, what? Mm-hmm. So his whole explanation, the whole thing was just hella vague. Just, there were no concrete details. She started to ask him more about the girl, and we only heard his side. Like, I wanted to know, what the fuck did you do for this shit to break up after 2 months? Because it takes two to tango.
Yeah, right. And who initiated the divorce, and...
Yeah. How did this...
Like, how did this happen? Like, how did this snowball? This is a big snowball. Yeah. Like, let's go down.
Like, he went off on this tangent talking about how she was emotionally abusive, and she drove a wedge between him and his family, and it was, like, all this, like, bashing on this, like, mystery woman, but I need details. Like, this is a big bomb that just dropped. You were married and got divorced after 2 months. Like, I need to hear from your perspective what went wrong. Like, from her perspective what went wrong. Like, how did this happen? Like, hearing these little one-off details. Maybe it was the editing. Like, they didn't really edit this properly.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Yeah, because he didn't also say, did he say what he learned from it?
No.
So that's a problem.
At least they didn't edit that to show it.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't like the scene at all. I don't know what they're trying to edit him into a more positive light, because it was, we didn't get a lot of details from his perspective of the relationship. We just got a lot of bashing of the girl. She was emotionally abusive, right. And she was turning him against his family. But, I still wanted, how did you end up in a relationship where it broke about? I wanted to hear I needed more.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Right.
How did marriage change the relationship? Because you were with her for so long, and then all of a sudden it stopped working when you got married?
Yeah. Why? What did you learn? What did you gather from that? We got none of those details. So.
Nope.
So, Becca also was I need some details. Because she is, very worried that he's not going to be ready at the end of all of this. And she says that to him, and he assures her that he's ready, yada yada yada, and then he gets the date rose. The whole day was whack. Just the editing of it was weird, and we just didn't learn enough. I feel like it was I like you too. I got divorced after 2 months. Oh my god, that's crazy. Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Okay, here's the date rose. What? No, this is not satisfying as a viewer at all. So anyways, after he gets the date rose, they leave and, stroll down the street. And then those double doors appear. Y'all know what's about to go down. On the other side, you just hear some screaming fans and Granger Smith. Is on the stage.
Oh my god. Guys,
this moment, this right here, was my get me to Wakanda moment.
You know what, this is my second one.
This was your second moment?
My second moment where I would have fled.
Granger Smith, this was full on country music. There wasn't a Negro for miles. Becca and Garrett were in their full-on element. Talk about feeling at home. They were there. And I just couldn't identify with a single thing happening in this scene and just wanted to escape anywhere, really. Wakanda, I'll take it, but I just needed to get out of here. Oh, my God. This moment also further, again, this entire date just reminded me just how lazy these producers are. It is season 55 of The Bachelorette. And they are literally pumping out the same formulaic bullshit.
Yeah.
You saw the doors, you knew it was a screaming fan on the other side, and some no-name people singing. It's just, there's no originality, there's no newness to the show. It's 2018, as I said, season 55. We're not getting anything new. And this date was a complete, example of that. How boring this shit is.
Absolutely. And it only relates to a certain type of viewer.
Yeah.
And not to others, which I don't think is fair. Everybody knows who Lil Jon is. Everybody knows who that is. Why can't you have one of an artist like that, even an up-and-coming one,
even up-and-coming, on, yeah.
Like, you guys couldn't go to a J Balvin concert 3 months ago?
I guess. Like, that's, I don't know.
Everybody knows who that is. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, that date was a snooze. Anyways, back at the house, the group date card comes, and we learn that there are going to be 13 niggas on a date, which... I can't believe they're still having dates this huge. This is nuts. Yeah. So everybody in the damn house is going on the date except for Wells, who wasn't on the date card, so that means he's getting the one-on-one. Wells was so cute in his confessional. He was like, my name is Wells, and I'm going on a one-on-one date with Becca. Aww. That was so cute.
So, so cute.
So adorable, and he deserves it. So, time for the group date. 13 guys. They go out. They meet Becca in, like, out in the field. Or in the field of some sort. John, Venmo John, who we love, was talking about, you know, how he feels nervous about being around Becca. He's intimidated by all the other guys. He really wants this group date rose. It was cute. I like moments like that where it's, like, a real nice, humble guy. I think in this house, there's been a lot of guys, like, puffing up their chests and a lot of gimmicky foolishness and a lot of, like, macho-ism, I guess, is the term. Mm-hmm. And John is just, like, nice and humble and, like, naturally nervous and naturally intimidated and, like, a real human being, basically. So they meet up with Becca. They learn that for their date, they're going to be lumberjacking.
The verb lumberjacking,
which apparently is just like chopping wood and throwing axes and like
the throwing picking up axes logs is like
real outdoorsy stuff, I guess.
Dangerous activities.
Yes. So they are taking turns chopping wood. You know, some people are better than others. My baby Colton is looking hella good. I just had to say. And even John Venmo John is out here. He's becoming a new little bae. He was getting a lot of screen time, and he was chopping wood, and he was doing well, because you have the big guys like Colton and Leo and Lincoln, allegedly. They always throw Lincoln into the mix of, like, the buff guys in the house. I did not notice that he was that buff until ever, I guess. He just seems like a normal muscly guy, but he's not buff like Colton and Leo are buff.
Because his muscles are so tight. Colton and Leo's muscles are really lean and stretched out and, like, well-proportioned to their bodies, and Lincoln looks like he looks like Johnny Bravo to me.
He has like a big upper body, like a big chest. Huge. And big arms.
And like outrageously large biceps.
Yeah. For and then no if you're reason. Always wearing tight ass shirts, you just look extra big.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's what that is. Anyways. So up against all those guys, John is holding, you know, his weight.
Yeah.
And so they then have, like, a little team competition where they break up into two teams, and they have, like, these five different, like, stations of, like, pushing logs and throwing logs and carrying logs, all kind of log stuff. And at the very end, it gets to, it comes to Blake and John, and they have to, like, climb this tree. Whoever gets to the top first wins, and John won. So that
was a little young. I know, he's just sitting behind the computer, but he's got a little skills.
And he got the group date rose, or did he just win? Did I make that up?
Oh, oof. Now I watched this Monday, guys, so I really don't know.
And I have no excuse, I just watched this. Anyways, John won, he got a kiss, I don't know, something at the end. So it's time for the night portion of their date. Becca, again, red is her color.
Yeah.
Came out in the red dress. Really liked this dress. It was like a deep V, very deep V.
Mm-hmm.
and it had like these two belts across the center. I really like that little detail. And then had like a high slit, and then the dress like went to the knee. It was doing a lot, but it all worked at the same time.
Yeah, but it worked though. It was like a midi dress kind of, right?
Midi dress, yes, but with like a high slit and a low V-neck, which is like, that could be like taboo, but it looked really cool. So she looked great. Her and Jason, Wolf of Wall Street, had a little nice moment together. Colton and Becca had a nice moment. He revealed that he has been in love before once. Didn't really give me details, but I made a mental note of that, as you know. Jordan and Becca. So Jordan whips off his pants and is wearing the gold shorts underneath.
Oh my god.
And then he walks back to the room. He heads back into the room where all the guys are. And they're all just sitting there like, here we go again. Like, it's just annoying at this point. Like, Jordan, he's funny sometimes. He has cute little one-liners and whatnot. But it would be very annoying being in a house where you are genuinely there looking for love. And then you literally have this walking gimmick who one minute he's in gold shorts. The next he's, like, naked. The next he's... doing some other bullshit. It's like, why are you here? Like, you are wasting my time and everyone else's time, and it's annoying. Like, his presence is just getting annoying to everybody, basically. So Colton takes it upon himself to confront him and just basically confronts him for, like, being a clown, and is like, I'm tired of your bullshit. Like, what are you doing here? What is your purpose? Blah, blah, blah. And then we have Jean Blanc and Becca. So Jean Blanc pulls out yet another gift. I feel like he came with like a carry-on just full of random shit to give Becca throughout the season. Because every time they have a sit-down, he gives her a gift.
He gives her
something. He gives her something, which... I guess cute, but this one was just whack. So he hands her a fragrance that he had made for her. And the name on it is Miss Becca Blanc.
Which is incorrect. It should say Mrs., but fine. Okay.
Right. That's true. If it's you're adding your last name, then it should be Mrs., you dummy. And then... and then... So this part was very weird. He then whispered something in her ear. Which the sound like cut out because I didn't hear it.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone heard it. He whispered something in her ear and then he kissed her, and then the moment just became very awkward. Like, Becca was hella awkward.
Yeah,
Jean Blanc, I don't really know what he whispered, and then followed up with a kiss. Was weird.
And the kiss was weird.
The kiss was weird. Becca was clearly caught off guard by the kiss. Yeah. I still think she was paying attention to what he just whispered to her. So she was like, oh, okay, so we're kissing now. All right.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, that whole moment was just awkward as shit. And then Becca says in her confessional, like, Jean Blanc is a lot. Which is what she said. And so their date, their little portion gets cut off by Leo, who comes in and interrupts. And Jean Blanc is just chatting in his little confessional, saying that he didn't get to do everything he wanted to do. Or he didn't really get to say everything he wanted to say. Like, my nigga. And he really wants the date rose. Like, he keeps talking about this date rose. He really, really wants this date rose.
He's talking about it like it's a game.
Like it's a game, yes, exactly. Like, it is a game and it is a prize that he needs to win. Which, you already know from that, not here for the right reasons.
Nope.
So, Jean Blanc then takes it upon himself to interrupt Lincoln. He was having his little time. And tells Becca that he wants to get a little bit more time with her. So, they sit down for, you know, another one-on-one. And he says... that he thought that their connection was instantaneous. And, you know, he hasn't felt like this in a very long time.
Which, anyone who was watching, could you all tell that was a lie? Because I could tell that was a lie.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
Ooh!
And then he drops the bomb and says, I'm falling for you, and I'm falling in love with you.
Which, how she kept from laughing, I don't know.
First of all, you have not been on a one-on-one date. So you cannot be falling for anybody.
Yeah, no.
Second of all, you totally called this, Justine. Because, I don't know if you remember, I think it was in the very first episode where they had a little preview of Jean Blanc saying, I'm falling for you. And you said, I bet he does it prematurely. He's going to pull a Tia.
Yes. Which and this, do it on the first trip. And
do it on the first fucking trip. You called it.
Oh my god.
And like, I have to think, did Tia, when Tia told Ari, I love you or I'm falling for you, and it was very premature, was this before or after she had a one-on-one?
That was after her one-on-one where it was totally catered to her and everything she loves in life.
So Tia at least had a one-on-one. My nigga, yeah. Jean Blanc, you still on group dates that are 15 deep. What are you talking about? Oh my god, just lying.
Yep.
So after he tells her he's falling in love with her and she literally just met him 5 seconds ago, Becca, of course, starts to freak out and is like, bruh, this is too early. We are in the beginning. I think she said this is the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. And like, all of this is just too much. And so then, because he sees her freaking out, he starts to kind of like shuck around and is trying to like backpedal, and he's like, well, what if we took a step back? What if we did this? What if that? And Becca's just like, nah, like, I gotta walk you out. You gotta go. You gotta get the fuck out of here.
This was my Becca UI moment.
Nice, yes.
I was like, girl, you didn't even wait for that rose ceremony. You just said you have to leave right now.
Right now. In this
you
moment.
Got to go.
We need to walk out, like, instantly. So, as they're walking out, oh my god. I don't even want to talk about it. It's so cringe. As they are walking out, Jean Blanc stops her and says, what about the gift? And I'm like, does he want the gift back? Like, what do you mean, what about the gift?
That's what I thought. I thought he wanted it back.
I thought he was going to make her go inside, get that fucking bottle of juice, and then give it back, and make her give it back. So he goes, what about the gift? And Becca is like, it was a very nice gift. Like, I really appreciated it. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize your feelings were so strong. Because he's almost, like, I feel like he was mad that she accepted the gift.
Right.
But, like, he gave her the gift before he said, I'm falling in love with you. Mm-hmm. And all that foolishness. So she's like, I appreciated it, but, like, I didn't realize your feelings were so strong.
Yeah.
And then this fuck nigga said, well, you know, it's not necessarily where I'm at. Like, talking about his feelings. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I thought it was where you wanted to take things and what you wanted to hear.
Now, let me tell you all something about these niggas who write poetry.
Oh, yep, you said it. You did say it.
Okay. They start with them words and they start twisting and turning them. That's why I don't like these poets.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? They start just, oh, yeah, but that's what you said you wanted. And, oh, well, you know, I thought that's what you wanted. And, oh, I was just doing, you know, I was just expressing the feelings that I have the best for you, you know, my queen. No.
My queen.
None of this with the poets.
This was the poet. You didn't trust it, and here came through. He is a man of words and nothing but words. Just empty words.
Empty words.
No meaning.
Nope.
And he obviously in this moment got my nigga you ain't shit award.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Right here at this moment.
Me too.
You too? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what other moment in this episode would warrant this besides this bullshit right here. So he basically tells her that he told her what she wanted to hear, even though she ain't asked for none of this. And Becca was like, wait, what? So you just told me you're falling in love with me, but actually you're not. And, like, huh? And then he didn't have a good response. He was just like, no, like, nah, that's not what I did. I don't even know what. It was just, Jean Blanc is a woman's nightmare. He's a fraud.
Yep.
He is a fraud. Mm-hmm. He talks a lot of mess. He is a man, as you said, of words. Words, words, words that are all empty. He says what he has to say to get his way with you, but his intentions and motives from Jump Street are just ill.
Yeah, they're just selfish.
They're just selfish and ill, and he gets what he wants from you by saying what he needs to say, and then we'll kick you to the curb when you're done, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably many women out there who have fallen for his bullshit.
Yeah.
And now we got to see him in action on screen, and he looked like a fucking piece of shit. And so Becca's like, yeah, you just really gotta go. Walks him out. See you later. See you never. She comes back in with the guys, and she's pissed. And lets them know, like, she's ending the night. Like, she didn't even really talk to everybody. She's ending the night, and she's not giving out the date rose or whatever. And is just like, look, all I want is honesty from you people. Why is that so hard?
Oh, my God.
Like, why is that so hard? So, the next morning, Becca wakes up. She's still seething.
Yeah.
Still pissed.
I guess so, because if you have no contact with the outside world and all you have is your thoughts...
Yeah.
This is what would happen.
All you have is your thoughts. You'd
just be thinking about this all night.
Yeah, your thoughts, and you also had to sit through hours of interviews of dissecting those thoughts. And you talked about the Jon Blanc thing up and down and all the way around, and so it's been on your mind all night. You didn't sleep. All you're thinking about is this bullshit, and now you're stuck with 13 other guys who also are probably full of shit. So it's just not a good feeling.
Yeah.
Not a good feeling. And so Jon Blanc, he really set everybody back, because now Becca's walls are just all the way up. And it sucks for Wells, who has to go on a one-on-one date with her after this nonsense. So he's obviously in a very, very tough spot. And everyone, of course, is envious of the one-on-one, but no one was envious of this one-on-one.
Yeah, not this one.
Not this one, because he had an uphill battle to fight through. So going into the date, into the one-on-one, Becca she's already crying in her damn on-camera interview.
That is exactly what I wrote down. Yeah. I said, this girl starts crying in her own intro.
In her own intro. She hasn't even met up with Wells yet, and she's already just all in her feelings because Jon Blanc really fucked her up. And she's just going into the date just feeling off. Like, which is not fair to... Well, she feels bad because it's not fair to Wells, obviously.
Right.
Because Jon Blanc is just taking up all of her energy. So anyways, Wells appears, and they go snowmobiling?
Yeah, it's like snow ATVing.
Snow ATVing, yes.
Kind of,
something like that. And Becca's energy is off. Wells can already tell, which sucks. Becca, you know, she's talking about her frustrations from last night, and Wells is just, he's just a really nice, calming spirit to be around. He's such a cutie. He's very much like, she said, she called him a stand-up guy. And that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, he's the guy that needed to be on this date with her after Jon Blanc's nonsense. So she was in good hands, at least. Time for the night portion of their date. And the two of them walked up like they were going to two different occasions.
Isn't that something? Did you notice that? Yes. Well, first of all, Wills looked bomb.
You look great.
I loved his outfit.
But he looked like he was going to a rose ceremony. He had on like a rose ceremony.
Yeah, yeah, it was fancy.
Yeah. And then she was wearing like an all black. Like black blouse, black pants, black leather jacket. Like she was more dressed down. Like, I don't know. They were going two different places. Both look good, but just not going to the same place. So anyways, we learn during their date that Wells, he shares that he dated a girl for 3 years. They were very serious, talking about wedding and marriages, and then this bitch blindsided him talking about she wanted a hall pass. Oh, like, this is a real thing?
Gonna lie.
I thought this only happened in the movies.
You guys,
the fuck?
I laughed when he said that.
I had to laugh, too. I'm sorry. I had to laugh, too, because I just didn't know that this was a real thing that people asked for.
Right.
Oh, my. There was a movie called Hall Pass about this.
Really?
Yeah, there was a movie. It was, like, a comedy movie about, like, I don't even remember, like, these older white guys who, like, got hall passes for the weekend or something. So when he said that, I was like, oh, shit, this, like, actually, people ask mm-hmm. for this of their significant others, apparently. So she asked for a hall pass. He was like, bitch, please. And she cheated on him anyways. Look, sounds like.
And went to this place where they had anniversaries.
Yeah, she was just
girl, you don't take your side piece to the any place with, like, tablecloths or cloth napkins. Period. You take him to a chain.
A chain?
Not even a franchise.
There's you Applebee's. Take him to a chain. There is. What's that mean? Not the same?
No, like, a franchise would be like a Joe's Applebee's, American Bar and Grill. A chain is an IHOP, okay? Applebee's.
Oh, okay.
Olive Garden.
TGI Fridays. Mm-hmm. Olive Garden. That's where you take the side piece. Nope, this bitch took them to their old spots where he, like, asked her to be his girlfriend, where they had their first kiss, where she met the parents. Like, God, she ain't shit. That hurts. I felt for her.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
That was terrible, yeah. And so, obviously, after being scarred from that experience, he talks about having a fear of just, like, not being enough, mm-hmm. and how he's always been, like, very hard on himself. And Becca, you know, she said she feels the same way. And obviously, after going through her devastating breakup with Ari, mm-hmm. who literally left her for another woman.
On camera.
You can't help but on camera. Another woman who, I don't know what the hell she has that Becca don't have. Like, so Becca was similarly left feeling like she's not enough, mm-hmm. and what did she do wrong, and what is she missing, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, they have that little moment, and she obviously gives him the date rose. And she feels like she can genuinely trust him mm-hmm. and really trust Wells.
He seems like a good listener, too.
Yeah, he seems like a good mm-hmm. listener. I feel like we're obviously not seeing all of their dates, but I feel like they're probably the furthest along in terms of their conversations, like the depth of their conversations.
Yeah.
Because he strikes me as somebody who doesn't do surface level talk.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to talk about real shit mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like there's a lot of conversation we're probably not seeing, and I feel like she probably knows him. I'm inferring all this shit. I don't know any of this, but she probably knows him on deeper levels than she does, like, a Garrett, for instance.
Right.
Where they're just, like, googly eye looking at each other, like, oh my God, you're, like, home. But they're not actually talking about anything of substance.
Anything. Yeah. And I feel like even with a Blake, like, they talk about future things that are really adorable, like their kids' names. Mm-hmm. But they don't really get into, like, the deep, you know, the root
of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she has probably done some of that with Rose. Gives him the date rose. He's all excited. Wells, in his interview, looked high. I'm sorry. I don't know if he was high off of love.
Yeah.
Drunk off of love. My nigga looked like he had just freshly smoked a joint. And his eyes were, like, barely open.
So low.
So low, and he was just, like, giggling and, like, high off of love, I guess, or some other substance. I don't know.
I don't know if the cannabis is legal in Utah. I don't know if that's, like, a thing.
So they left their date. They had the whole push up against the wall make out moment.
Love it.
It was all cute mm-hmm. and, you know, like, good stuff. Back at the house, the guys are sitting around, they're chatting about the whole Jean Blanc drama. Connor and Nick are a little scared going into this next rose ceremony because they didn't get a chance to talk to Becca. Because mm-hmm. after the Jean Blanc nonsense, just, like, ended the night.
Yeah.
So they're like, fuck, I literally have not spoken to her, like, all week.
Mm-hmm.
So then Chris Harrison comes in and announces that Becca knows what she wants to do, and she's not having a cocktail party.
Nope.
So, sorry. So poor Connor and Nick are like, fuck. We still don't get to talk to her. Great. And this right here was my Becca UII moment.
Oh.
Because she's showing again and again that she is not here to play.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't need to have unnecessary conversations with people. Mm-hmm. Like, if she knows what she wants, you're going. Jean Blanc, you ain't shit, you gotta go.
Yep.
Homeboy from home, like her hometown, who
like
came there to see her, whatever the fuck. She gave him like 3 seconds and was like, okay, you gotta go. Like, she's just like cutting people, like, she doesn't have the time. Mm-hmm. So, that moment, not having the rose ceremony, I totally understood that decision. Becky, you aight.
Nice.
So, we go into the rose ceremony, and Becca looks beautiful in her
Big long old gown.
Black, big old gown, yes. Mm-hmm. Very elegant. Loved it. It was like black tube dress. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot going on at the bottom, and then it was like it was that like sheer paneling.
It's like that nude and black situation that people have going on.
Yeah,
it was a nice mermaid shape. Which
I like. Yes, Little Mermaid ending to it. Bottom. I don't know how to describe fashion. So just giving out roses, lots of roses. John Venmo John gets a rose. Yeah. Very exciting. Which I was a little nervous because John got a lot of camera time, and usually that means they might be going home.
Yeah,
like, so I was like, is he gonna get a rose or what? But he got a rose. Everyone is wondering if Jordan the clown is gonna get a rose.
Mm-hmm.
And the final rose comes. Who's left? We have Jordan, Nick, and fine ass Kristen.
Mm.
And the final rose, in fact, goes to Jordan.
Which made me just sick. And
so annoying. When she announced his name, literally every guy did like a slow blink. They were just like that slow head down blink, shake your head.
Yeah.
All of them are just like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
This has to be like a producer pick. Because how do you choose?
It has to, yeah.
Which is, I want to know more about that process, and we just will never know about the producer pick, producer roses, how that goes down. But I just wonder, like, Becca, when you're sending Kristen home, and even Nick in the tracksuit, which is kind of weird, but still, sending them home over Jordan, who is very clearly a gimmick.
Right.
And you don't have chemistry with him, like, real chemistry.
Right.
Like, how does that feel?
Like, also, when you are crying and, like, making all these big declarative statements about being honest, and they force you to be dishonest.
Thank you.
Like, how does that... That must tear you apart.
That must tear you up, or like, what is that? Yeah, what is your thought process around that?
I don't know.
Very bizarre. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, yes, we have to give a sad little goodbye to Kristen.
Little? No, this is absolutely terrible.
This is a devastating,
so devastating. Farewell.
Oh my god. He was some good eye candy that is now out the house.
It's now gone. Fuck. I'm so sad. He has a lot of Instagram followers, though. He's got a decent Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I don't follow him. I need to go follow him.
Yeah.
Because he is just a beauty, and sending him home is just some bullshit. So.
Yep.
After that, Becca announces that next week they are going to Vegas.
Ooh.
Which I can only be but so excited because for Vegas, okay, this is the date that I want to see in Vegas. Okay. I want to see a group date where they just go to a nightclub. They get turned up, they go to a nightclub, and we just watch these niggas get drunk and how they act in that type of setting.
Okay.
Who is veering off to go dance with some other girl?
Right.
Who is drunk and passed out in the corner, can't hold their liquor?
Aww.
Who is drunk and getting fights?
Yeah.
Who is, like, I just want to see that kind of Vegas.
Yep. Yep.
And we know we're not getting that kind of group date, so I was already, like, not even that excited for Vegas.
Mm. That would be the best kind of group date, though, because you really get to see...
You know, you would learn a lot.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would learn a whole lot. And Vegas is that place where people, just by being in Las Vegas, you just turn into another person. Like, I have myself so many stories of Vegas, like... And so... I just want them to be in that element, and I want to see that Vegas side get turned out and, like, taken advantage of so we can really see different sides to these guys. But we know we're not getting that kind of group.
No, Vegas, no. So.
Whatever. And that was the date, guys. Or that was the episode.
The episode.
Yeah, we did get a preview of next week. We have Colton saying, I confidently say I'm falling in love.
That's a lot.
So we're getting these love drops already, which is just a lot. Has Colton had a one-on-one yet?
Nope.
I'm hoping next week is one-on-one, or else yes. You pulling a Tia Jean Blanc, my dude. Yeah. Like, oh my god. So he's dropping the love. And then we see Gospel Chris.
Yeah,
he's up in arms about something. Oh no.
Yes.
He's talking about he wants to go home, and we don't really know what's happening, but there's some drama of some sort.
You know what? You know, I love my Chris. You know, I love him, but he seems quite dramatic.
Love Gospel Chris. Yes, because we can't forget he had the drama from night one, where he had the guy from back home whose friend texted him that he wasn't there for the right reasons, yada yada yada, or some shit. So he's been steeped in some drama from like Jump Street. So
yeah,
he looked like he's about to pop off next week. I don't know what that's about, but
who knows?
That's that. And then it looks like David and Jordan are finally gonna have this epic 2-on-1 date.
Oh my god.
Yep, I think that's next week.
Yeah.
And I hope she sends both these guys home.
Honestly, because I'm really not looking forward to that one, because it's that typical... No. So, guys, this is where I would usually join, like, 3 years ago when I would watch the show, quote-unquote. This is where I would join, where they would have the date on an island or desert or mountain, where it was the two villains.
Yes. Yes.
And
this is that time.
Yep, and I'm not looking forward to watching it on screen. If she doesn't eliminate both of them, I'm just not into it.
Yeah, I think that's happened before. That's definitely happened before, where they've sent home both people. And so this is what I'm expecting of next week, because Jordan is a joke, and you have zero chemistry with David, so, like, enough is enough. Send them both, it's over.
Yeah.
And that is the episode, guys. We'll be back next week. Yay! Hopefully for a better episode, because this shit was boring.
Oh my god.
Please. I'm excited for whatever drama Chris R is bringing, because... And if she's having a one-on-one with Colton, I think next week might be a Colton one, so I'm excited for that. And yes, please, everyone, in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. We really appreciate it. Hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 rose.
And email us anytime. Our email is the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose @gmail.com.
Hit us up on Facebook. And we will be back next week.
We will be back
to our regularly scheduled
programming
life. I know the last 2 weeks, guys, have been a mess. This episode in particular, I'm sorry, I was stranded in Paris and literally could not get home. And so that's why this episode is dumb late. But next week we'll be back and better than ever.
Yep. All
right. That's it. All right. See you later, everybody. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.